Amen. Well, it's good to be here. This is definitely the snoozer session for the day, which is why they scheduled it for after lunch. Seriously, if you have in your notebooks there a little handout that says best tools in the box, that's what we'll be covering today. And this is just a true nuts and bolts kind of session. No preaching here, just giving recommendations. And as Pastor Willequit was asking if I could do this today, basically just to lay out the goal, this is really just to be a help and encouragement. Some of you, this might be old hat, and you really can, if you feel like going and talking to your friends out in the foyer, that's fine, no problem. But really, this is just designed, if you're looking for good resources, basic things to help in the study of the scriptures, that's what this is designed to be a help with. So let me just jump right in, since we have limited time today, and we want to get on to the other sessions, but Francis Bacon, of course, has that famous quote, "Some books are to be tasted, others are to be swallowed, and some few are to be chewed and digested." That is, some books are to be read only in parts, others to be read but not curiously, and some few to be read wholly and with diligence and attention. That's a good quote, and it's good for our studies even as pastors. There's innumerable books out there. If you're like me, you love books, and I love to read, but We obviously have limited time and especially limited resources. Again, if you're like me, your book wish list grows exponentially faster than your book budget allows. And so you just do the best you can and try to pick the best resources with the money you have. So that's what we're designed to recommend here, specifically talking about the Pentateuch. Resources to study the first five books of the Bible. If you want to just get a basic helpful library that will help you as a pastor work on that. That's what this list is designed for. And I just lay that out there in the introduction. Basically, the qualifications for the books on this list are recent. Obviously, there's a wealth of books all throughout church history you can get on things. But for this list, I've limited it just to recent books aimed at the pastor, not the professional scholar. So we will not have on this list particularly technical or specialized works. Again, we're looking at those like us who are doing primarily things like sermon preparation. Also then, as I said, number three, prioritized for a budget. I also put on there, just so you'll have it for your reference, other places you can look for book recommendations. You'll see that listed on the front page. If you want to know more about a book, there's some good things you can check out there. I want to actually begin with just letting you know about some of these resources by going to the very end of the list. If you turn to your last page, I'm going to start here because this will actually work us back into some of the other things that we have on the list. And that last section there, preaching the Pentateuch, and I've included in this list just a few resources of both the theory of preaching from the Pentateuch, that is, how to go about doing it, and then examples of doing that. Let me just start off by recommending one work here, Stephen Mathewson's The Art of Preaching Old Testament Narrative. And I put this one on the list because, for me personally, this has been one of the most helpful volumes in studying the narrative of the Old Testament, which, as you know, in the Pentateuch, we have primarily narrative as well as law. This has been a tremendously helpful volume for me in talking about how narrative works and understanding what am I supposed to be getting from this story. There's a lot of stories here, and all of us have heard sermons on stories in the Bible and thought, is that really what it's supposed to be communicating? I mean, do we just draw out anything out of this story we feel like the story says? How do we go about finding that? And so a book like this is very helpful. He really condenses a lot of work that others have done on the narrative of the Old Testament, puts that forward for preachers in a substantial way. It's not just a surface work, but also a very helpful way that sifts through a lot of things for us. Basically, the book is set up in three parts, if you're interested in considering it, from text to concept, from concept to sermon, and then sermon manuscripts. Really, the first part of this book is what I would say is worth the price of the book. He talks about the four elements of Old Testament narratives, the plots, the characters, the setting, the point of view, how to understand these things. I would really recommend reading a book like this. as far as preparing for preaching, studying the Old Testament Pentateuch. Tremendously helpful. As a work, it's probably, again, my personal opinion here, not as helpful when it comes to things like application, although it's good. It takes the standard, probably many of you men have seen the standard Haddon Robinson approach of find the big idea, you know, then go to the timeless principle and bring that down to a contemporary application. It's pretty much along those lines. Another book on application, which is not on this list, but if you're interested in that, might be Daniel Doriani, Putting the Truth to Work. Is a helpful book on application, thinking through the process of what this means and how we apply it to our lives. By the way, let me just say this too. One of the things that is the best, I believe, for a preacher in learning application is simply to read great books. And I'm talking about any kind of books. They can be fictional books, can be history books, all kinds of books. If you read great books, you kind of learn by example a lot of things about application, a lot of things about understanding, even seeing how a text works, seeing how a story works. I don't know about you men, sometimes it's a little bit hard to maybe fit in fictional reading, but if you get a chance, do it. It's worthwhile. And it really does help in terms of communication. That's what we're all about as preachers. So that's one book just on talking about the theory, going from studying the text to applying it in our lives, making it into sermons. You see a couple others there that I put down in the list. One is Walt Kaiser's Preaching and Teaching from the Old Testament, A Guide for the Church. He particularly discusses different genres of the Old Testament, and like how to preach them, like narrative, like wisdom, prophets, laments, Torah, praise, apocalyptic. Those are the different areas that he covers in terms of how to handle this, how to apply it, how to turn it into a sermon, you might say. So a very useful book. I include one here by Sidney Gradanus, Preaching Christ from Genesis, primarily because he's probably written more on preaching from the Old Testament than perhaps anybody else in the last 20, 30 years. And so he's widely known in this area. You'll find a different perspective. I mean, he's coming from a Dutch Reformed perspective, a covenantal perspective, and yet still useful in terms of understanding, thinking through the text. I put down there as well a couple examples. I don't know about you men, but one of the things I struggle with in preparing sermons isn't so much the study part of it. Okay, you know, you can go in there, you can study a passage, you can study the terms, you can study the plot, you can do all the different things, you do the nuts and bolts of exegesis. And the challenge for somebody like me is, how do you communicate this, and how do you communicate it well? And one of the things I find very helpful is to try to look at people who know how to do it well. Read preachers who are good communicators. That's very helpful. Not that you copy them, not that you even have to do it. Like, you may even totally disagree with their interpretation of a text, but just how do they communicate? Because they do it well. That's very helpful. I find that sometimes with looking at these Old Testament texts, getting ideas even from these men is very helpful. So I put down there a few examples of this, like R. Kent Hughes, Genesis, Beginning and Blessing, from the Preaching the Word series by Crossway. Also, a second one I put down here, which we're going to run into again in this list, Philip Graham Ryken's Exodus, Saved for God's Glory, same series, Preaching the Word series. These are basically sermons put into book form, and very well done. And so very helpful in terms of thinking through, how do I communicate this? What needs to be communicated? How can I do it in a way that people can understand? I put one other example down here, which is just because it fit in this section of the Bible, although it deals with a particular topic, and that's John MacArthur's The Battle for the Beginning, of course, talking about creation and defending a six-day literal creation. Well, again, what are we doing when reading that book? Is anything deep or that you probably haven't heard somewhere else? Not necessarily. But sometimes picking up a book like that can help me say, how do I communicate this? Okay, here's someone that's done it pretty well. How can I do that and learn from them? Plus, it can make for some edifying reading yourself. So I start there with kind of that big picture of this is what we're trying to do, and these other tools we're going to look at then fit in beneath this final product. So if let's just go back quickly to the beginning of your list. And I won't spend much time on these. First, your basic reference kind of works. A couple Old Testament introductions are helpful to have on hand. And if you're looking for a couple, Gleason Archer's A Survey of Old Testament Introduction, Dillard and Longman's Introduction to the Old Testament, good basic overview, outlines, basic handle of the books, so you can find out what's going on there. Deal also with introductory issues that obviously you won't be dealing with in your sermons, but are helpful for understanding as you study the text. Eugene Merrill and Andrew Steinman are helpful in terms of biblical chronology and history, and the Zondervan Atlas of the Bible is a very useful one in terms of an atlas. You see there are Hebrew concordances, lexicons, grammars, theological dictionaries. You know what? I find even if you've not been able to study Hebrew, there are tools out there, not used wisely, and it's good to check yourself against commentaries, which we'll get to in a minute. But used wisely, there really are tools to give you access to think about things. So I went ahead and put some things down here that are hopefully helpful for you. Probably if you studied Hebrew, this is all old hat, but you can check those out. If you have any deeper questions about those, I'd be happy to answer them later. Exegetical guides. Two that are very helpful, Robert Chisholm and Douglas Stewart. Robert Chisholm is more of an all-in-one book. He does everything. Tries to cover Hebrew grammar all the way to putting it together into a sermon. So it's a useful book. Covers some of the same territory that I was talking about earlier with Stephen Mathewson's book, but is broader than that as well. So useful book. Also, Douglas Stewart's Old Testament Exegesis can be a helpful guide if you're just thinking, what's the process I go through to study a text? How do I make sure I'm getting what God wants to communicate so that I can give that to the people? Or how do I know I'm not just pulling something out of my head and reading it into here? That's what these kind of guides are useful for. Make us really think through the text. Next is overview of the Pentateuch. And again, man, I find this, perhaps you have different experience, I find this tremendously helpful in preaching. So much of what we glean in our study, and even what you'll find in a commentary, is not the kind of stuff you preach necessarily. It informs your preaching, hopefully, but you're not getting up there spouting off like a commentary. And keeping the big picture in mind is so important. Keeping the big picture in mind and communicating that so your people can see that and understand that. And overviews of the Pentateuch there are very helpful for just considering that perspective. Like T.D. Alexander from Paradise to the Promised Land. Now, I believe there's actually a brand new edition of this that has just come out this year. So this is already dated, this what you have right here. But he just covers main themes of the Pentateuch. And that's very helpful to consider. Victor Hamilton, A Handbook to the Pentateuch, is also a useful reference work there. Okay, let's jump into commentaries here. Basically, here's what this is, men. If you're saying, I have a very limited budget, and I what should I invest in first to get what I need to be able to study this part of the Scripture and communicate it? That's what these commentaries are designed for. Genesis first here. Kenneth Matthews would probably be one of the first ones I would purchase, a two-volume set in the NAC commentary, the New American Commentary Series, published by Brodmann and Holman. Basically, these commentaries, as the editors of the commentaries themselves will say, are around two concerns: the theological unity of each book and the Scriptures as a whole, and then they want them to be accessible to the whole body of Christ. In other words, they don't make them overly technical. For instance, in Matthew's commentary on Genesis, you'll find Hebrew, but it's all relegated to the footnotes. You don't have to feel like I'm trying to decipher something in the text here. He keeps that pretty much minimized, discusses the text adequately. When necessary, we'll dig into various words or grammatical things. Sometimes have an excursus on a more difficult topic. The NIV is the base English text that these commentaries work off of. One thing about this text, Matthew's on Genesis is that he defends the historicity of Genesis. He gives a helpful discussion of the themes of Genesis. He really provides a solid overview of it. So he really has an eye to theological correlation, too. So if you're preaching from Genesis, this can be helpful. How does this connect with something else? That's stimulating to think that through for preaching. Another one, Gordon Wenham. Now, this is probably the most technical commentary on this entire list, the two-volume set from the Word Biblical Commentaries. And one weakness of this commentary is that he does allow for standard critical theories on the origin of Genesis. However, he really kind of sets that all aside when it comes to dealing with the text. So it's like you have to wade through a lot of things like that. It's a weakness of the commentary, but when it comes to the commentary itself, he doesn't go that route. One of the things that's helpful for this is, though, he pays careful attention to the literary and syntactical and grammatical features of the text, more so than, say, someone like Matthew's. That's why it's a good supplement for Matthew's. But one interesting thing about his work is, for instance, he argues for the traditional view that Genesis 1:1 is a main clause describing the first act of creation, and that verses 2 and 3 describe subsequent phases in God's creative activity. Well, that's good, and it's nice to have a scholarly resource to go to and say, how does this work out, and why is this true? Useful in that way. Also, one that's great for a pastor, Alan Ross, Creation and Blessing. A guide to the study and exposition of Genesis. It's really exactly what the subtitle says. It's a guide to the study and exposition of Genesis. Not a commentary per se, although obviously he's commenting on the text. I find this one extremely helpful for preaching, because after the introductory issues, Ross basically walks through the entire book of Genesis section by section in what we might think of as preaching units, just going through the entire book that way. And then he gives theological ideas, he gives structure and synthesis, including a summary message and an exegetical outline of the whole book, and he develops the exposition of it, and then includes a bibliography on each section as well. Now, again, this book is a little bit older, the bibliography is a little bit dated, but tremendously helpful for us as preachers. So if you're looking for three to invest in Genesis, that's why I'd say some of the best ones you can get. All right, Exodus. Let's jump in here. Now, interestingly, Exodus doesn't have a lot of thorough commentaries from evangelical Bible-believing perspective. By the way, there is a new one in the book room in the back by Victor Hamilton that just came out last year, which I have not yet actually looked at, other than skimming it. So it's not on your list here. I can't recommend it yay or nay, but that's available. You might want to check that out. One of the first ones I would get for a fairly thorough commentary, Douglas Stewart's book on Exodus, and also in the New American Commentary series. One useful thing, he upholds Mosaic authorship, and, for instance, the 15th century Exodus. He doesn't try to date it later on to try to fit in with other critical theories, but he doesn't discuss that much, really focused on the text and the theology. He'll give helpful excursus. He has an excursus on the hardening of Pharaoh's heart, sort of the paradigmatic nature of biblical law. Slavery and slave laws. You know, he'll dig into that. He'll take little sections in the text, and as a preacher, you're going to be wrestling with that if you're preaching through Exodus. So it's helpful that even if you have a different perspective than he does, very clear writing. He's a good author, a very admirable discussion of the narrative, not minute detail, but a helpful one. Now, to complement that then, we'll go back to Philip Graham Ryken's Exodus Saved for God's Glory. You say, this is sermons. Yes. It's not a commentary in the technical sense, but it really is based on very solid exegesis. Since it is sermonic, it's very readable. It's actually very enjoyable, very applicable. And really, I would highly recommend this if you're preaching from Exodus as a resource to get. The author is coming from a Reformed perspective, so you understand that as you read this, but a lot of good material in there. Also, another commentary that fits along the same sort of lines, and that is Peter End's book on Exodus in the New International Version Application Commentary series. Peter End's on Exodus. If you're not familiar with the NIVAC series, they all follow the same pattern: original meaning, bridging context, contemporary significance. So that's what he'll go through. Helpful, just for considering things. It does He appeals often to Hebrews in terms of how this applies to our lives. A very concise, very clear, non-technical, easily accessible work there. All right, let's plow on here. Leviticus. Gordon Wenham, again, a very good commentator. So his book on Leviticus, very lucid discussion of the theology of Leviticus in terms of the presence of God, the sacrifices, what holiness means, the Sinai covenant. And he relates Leviticus to the Christian. Almost every section of this book, in fact, he'll talk about this and then the New Testament application. So again, whether you agree with him or not, this is helpful for the preacher in wrestling through this. Mark Rooker's work on Leviticus in the New American Commentary series, and another one by Alan Ross, very similar to the one on Genesis, Holiness to the Lord, A Guide to the Exposition of the Book of Leviticus. So again, very, very helpful for considering this. All right, the clock is ticking, so let me go quickly to Numbers. And we're, of course, progressively getting into more and more obscure territory in the Old Testament, right? Yeah, who studies and preaches from the book of Numbers? I don't know, I don't see any hands raised there. But we obviously need to know this part of the scripture as well. So here are a few commentaries. Ashley's in the Nicott series, the book of Numbers. Again, very helpful. All Hebrew is transliterated in the text, so you don't need to feel like, okay, I don't know Hebrew, I can't work with this one. Very clear and serviceable explanations in that one. Again, New American Commentary series on Numbers as well. One more by Wenham. This time in the Tyndale Old Testament Commentary series. Now, those are smaller ones. I don't normally recommend those as far as pastoral, like preaching, study the text kind of research. You might think of them as more devotional kinds of commentaries. But again, Wenham is a very clear and good commentator. That's worth referencing in this series. Deuteronomy. Now, here's a text where we might find this preached more often. So it's good to have some resources on this. Peter Craigie, the book of Deuteronomy. Now, this has been a standard for a generation on Deuteronomy commentaries. It's very fairly brief, to the point. As I've used it, it sometimes leaves me wanting more. you need to explain this more. But very, very serviceable, certainly informative and good. Eugene Merrill on Deuteronomy is also very helpful. He's superior to the others listed here in terms of considering the historicity of things. You know, how did this play out? When did it happen? That kind of a thing. But not as meaty. In fact, not even as meaty as the other New American commentaries I've talked about here. Just treats an overview of Deuteronomy as a covenant document there. A newer one by McConville on Deuteronomy, also very useful. And this one is good at theological correlation. It's very weak on higher critical theories. So just be aware of that as you look at that commentary. I note there that I've seen Currid's commentaries on the books of the Pentateuch, very highly recommended. Unfortunately, I did not have them, and the libraries I had access to didn't have them either, so I couldn't check them out to see if that was something to recommend. But again, men, this is basically just say, here's something to consider. As you think about, what am I going to do with the resources I have? I don't have that much, but I want to be faithful. I want to use what God has given to me to be faithful as a servant feeding the flock, like we heard so well this morning. Here are some resources you can consider if you don't already have them. These are ones that I would recommend as a starting library for studying the Pentateuch.